If you would remain standing, and if you have your Bibles with you, would you open up to the New Testament and to the Gospel of Matthew? Matthew chapter 5. We'll be zeroing in this evening on verse 6, the next beatitude. But as we've done for the last few weeks, we'll do again. We'll read all the Beatitudes. We'll read verses 1 through 10. Let's give attention to God's inspired, holy, and inerrant word written for you and for me this evening. Seeing the crowds, Jesus went up on the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Heavenly Father, as we again look into your life-giving word that is sharper than a double-edged sword, that is our very life and truth, we ask that you would give us your spirit, open our eyes, soften our hearts, conform us more to the image of your Son, in whose name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Around the world, in places such as Madagascar, Sudan, Western Africa, Somalia, extreme hunger, extreme thirst is sadly a common experience. Even closer to home in the West, and even in certain places in our own country, great hunger and thirst are all too common experiences. Tragically, tens of thousands of men and women and children have died from famine in just the past 10 years alone, and those numbers are likely too low. Dying from extreme hunger, dying from extreme thirst, needing those most basics of life, that basic sustenance to give them life. We need food and water to live. This is common knowledge. But dear friends, such physical hunger, such physical thirsting is but a faint reflection of an even greater hungering. Is but a faint reflection of an even greater thirsting that we as believers are called to have, as we are called to hunger and thirst for something more. As we are called to hunger and to thirst for righteousness, for that spiritual hungering and thirsting that Jesus speaks of in our verse this evening. Well, this evening we continue working our way through the Beatitudes, this first main section of the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7. As we have said in the Beatitudes, Jesus, our Lord Jesus, is painting a picture. He's giving us a portrait of a disciple of Christ. He's giving us a portrait of a citizen, ultimately a citizen of heaven, of one who follows after the Lord Jesus. And thus far, we've learned that a disciple is poor in spirit, verse 3. That he knows his own emptiness and helplessness and hopelessness outside the Lord. We've learned that a disciple mourns and grieves and repents of his sin day in and day out, verse 4. that a disciple is meek, is gentle, is humble. Verse 5. Now, in these first three Beatitudes, you may have noticed a general trend, a general trajectory. There is a general downward movement, you might say, in these first three Beatitudes, an overarching emptying of self. The believer is called to acknowledge our own unworthiness and our emptiness, that we are to mourn and be low over our sin, to be humble and meek before the Lord. We are to get out of self. That general frame of the first three of these Beatitudes. Getting out of self, denying self, saying no to self, growing lower in self. Well, this evening we come to the remedy, we might say. The other side of the story. If we are to say no to self, if we are to be low in self, then what is to fill us? Or better yet, who is to fill us? Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied, or for they shall be filled, we might put it. Now, I want us to consider this verse, one verse, this beatitude, along three lines of thought. A fairly straightforward sermon this evening. First, I want us to consider righteousness. What does Jesus have in view when he speaks of righteousness? Secondly, hungering and thirsting. What does it mean to hunger and to thirst? And then thirdly, filling in satisfaction, for they will be satisfied. So righteousness, hungering and thirsting after such righteousness, and then we are filled, we are satisfied in the Lord. So first, righteousness. Well, what is the righteousness that we are called to seek? A couple thoughts that we need to consider. First, it is critically important to understand and to grasp that righteousness is not a thing. I think we often have that general knee-jerk reaction. Righteousness is a kind of thing. That righteousness is some kind of generic stuff out there. That's not what righteousness is biblically. It's not some kind of generic stuff. It's not some abstract thing. It's not something that gets sucked out of Jesus. With a sucker, it gets sucked out of Jesus and then it gets stuck in us. That's not at all what Jesus has in view, what the Bible has in view. It's not something that is put into, infused into the Christian. Rather, most basically, righteousness is a person. I want you to get, dear friends, righteousness, most basically, at the end of the day, righteousness is a person. Christ is our righteousness. To hunger and thirst for righteousness is to hunger and thirst for Christ and for greater Christ-likeness. To hunger and thirst for righteousness is to hunger and thirst for the person of Christ and for greater Christ-likeness in our own lives. Several passages we could turn to. Let me mention just a couple that emphasizes Christ Himself, who is our righteousness. Jeremiah chapter 23, verses 5 and 6. That's what the prophet says, looking forward to the coming Redeemer. "Behold, the days are coming," says the prophet, declares the Lord, "when I will raise up for David a righteous branch. And he," that is this righteous branch, "shall reign as king and deal wisely, and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In his days Judah will be saved, and Israel will dwell securely. And this is the name by which he will be called: the Lord is our righteousness." You can turn over to Jeremiah 33. There's a parallel passage. Jeremiah 23 and 33 speak explicitly of the Lord Himself is our righteousness. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. "And because of the Father, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption." Stephen, Acts chapter 7, verse 52, Stephen's grand and glorious sermon. Stephen, as he's preaching Christ, Acts 7, 52, Stephen explicitly refers to Jesus as the righteous one. Acts 7, 52. Jesus is the righteous one. Jesus is the holy one. Remember the words of the angel Gabriel to Mary, Luke 1:35, the child to be born will be called holy, the Son of God. What the Father says about His Son on the Transfiguration and on the time of His baptism, this is my beloved Son, with Him I am well pleased. Jesus' food was to do the will of His Father. He came not to do His own will, but the will of Him who sent Him. John chapter 6, verse 36 and 37. You cannot separate righteousness from the righteous one. Again, righteousness, do not see it as some kind of generic stuff that we get. Righteousness is part and parcel of Christ Himself, the person of the Son of God, incarnate, crucified, raised, and exalted. He is the Holy One. He is the righteous one. He is our righteousness in at least two ways. He is Himself is our righteousness. As we are united to Him by faith, we are brought into the closest of fellowship and communion with Christ. And Jesus is the righteous one as we stand first before the bar of God's justice. As we stand as sinners before the bar of God's justice, our righteousness that we are clothed with is the person of Christ Himself. That when the Father sees us, He sees the perfect, spotless righteousness of His Son. But also as we grow in godliness, again, as we are united to Christ by faith, we discussed this morning in the sermon, as the life of Christ is more and more lived out in our own lives, as we are indwelt by the Spirit, Christ, again, is that righteousness who is at work in us by the Spirit, conforming us more to Himself day in and day out. Right standing and right living. Christ is the ground and the foundation for both. Christ, the person of Christ, the Son of God, Himself is our righteousness. I'm just going to pound that point home. So first, righteousness. Christ Himself. But we're called to hunger and thirst. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. The believer, the disciple of Christ, the citizen of heaven, hungers and thirsts for Christ. That is to be a characteristic, an attribute of the citizen of heaven, is to desire and to long for more of the Lord Jesus. Now, the language that Jesus uses is striking. As we mentioned earlier, hungering and thirsting are some of the most basic and intense human desires. Perhaps one of the most tangible of human experiences. No sooner is a baby out of the womb than the baby's hungry and thirsty. Same thing for a baby, we might say. No sooner is a baby breathing and born into this world than that baby wants his tummy to be filled. Hungering and thirsting. There's only one thing on that little one's mind. Having that desire satisfied and filled. Having that hunger and thirst satisfied and filled. True hungering and thirsty demands immediate satisfaction. It is an all-consuming desire. An all-consuming experience. Just let that soak in just for a moment. Don't just read over that. Yeah, I know what hungering is. I know what it means to thirst. I get thirsty during my day. I get hungry when I wake up. Let that sink in just for a moment. Perhaps think of a time in your own life when you've had relative extreme hunger and thirst. Now, in our society, we don't know that extreme hungering and thirsting that sadly all too many do know around the world. But perhaps even on a smaller scale, We all know what it means to be dying of hunger and thirst. We often will use that expression. All we want is for that desire to be satisfied. Nothing else will do it. And we get kind of cranky when it takes too long. Jesus used that language for a reason. Think of Israel, their experience in the wilderness. Israel knew what it meant to be hungry and to be thirsty. We want to go back to Egypt where we at least had food and water. Lord, where's our food? Where's our water? Of course, the Lord supernaturally provided for His people. But this language that Jesus uses would strike home to His original audience. And may it strike home to us as well. Well, note, as we continue, note what Jesus does not say. There's a few occasions tonight where we're going to think specifically about what Jesus doesn't say. And what can that teach us? Jesus does not say, blessed are those for whom Jesus is a convenient add-on. Blessed are those for whom Jesus is a nice snack. That's not what the Lord Jesus says. Blessed are those who simply want to check the Jesus box. No, blessed are those who hunger and who thirst and who long and who want more of our blessed Savior. Several passages we could turn to. Let me read just a couple. We've already sung and read some of them already this evening. Psalm 42, verse 1. We sang this just a few minutes ago. As a deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you. O God, my soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? Psalm 63, verse 1. O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you as in a dry and weary land where there is no water. Dear brother and sister, does your soul long for the Lord? Is David's desire your desire? Does his fainting for the Lord, does that resonate with you? Do you long to know more of Christ? I'm speaking to all of us as believers, as those who are in Christ by faith. Do you long to know more of Him? We will never be able to plumb the depths of the glory of the person of our Savior. Unto eternity, to eternity future, we will be reveling in more of His glory. The Apostle Paul wanted to know more of Jesus. Philippians 3, verses 9 and 10. The Apostle Paul says that he wanted to be found in Christ, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith. There Paul's talking about his justification. That is, his being clothed and wrapped in the perfect, spotless righteousness of Christ. But Paul doesn't stop there. He doesn't stop in verse 9. He goes on in verse 10. In fact, Paul, the grammar is choppy. Paul, if you read him, you'll note he often gets overly excited. It's wonderful. And his grammar gets kind of all over the place. And he says in verse 10, that I may know Him. This bursts out. That I may know Him. That I may know Jesus. Paul, don't you already know Jesus? Of course he does. But he wants to know more of Him. That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection, and may share His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death, that I may know more of Jesus. Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these things, in context, is our daily sustenance, our daily bread, a roof over our head, all these things will be added unto you. Notice further what Jesus does not say. Again, we're all under the heading of hungering and thirsting for Christ, for righteousness. Notice also what Jesus doesn't say. He doesn't say, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for happiness. There are millions upon millions of individuals in this world seeking happiness, seeking pleasure in any place other than the Lord. Seeking pleasure in the things of the world, and alcohol, and money, and sexual immorality, and popularity, and climbing the corporate ladder. Brothers and sisters, to put anyone or anything above the Lord, above Christ, is idolatry. And only brings misery and even greater emptiness. It only brings an even greater longing. The temptations of this world is like salt water. We drink it, but it leaves us wanting more. Also, Jesus doesn't say, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after experience. Maybe we'll bring it closer into our own circles, our own evangelical circles. He doesn't say, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after the next spiritual high. There's many a believer who lives experience to experience. Perhaps they've absented themselves from the local congregation, and they live and they desire that spiritual high, after one after the other. And it only leads to greater emptiness and to greater longing. No, we are to hunger and thirst for a person. It's the most basic way to put the theme of this evening, to hunger and thirst after a person, after Christ, our righteousness. True happiness is found in the Lord. If we seek and hunger and thirst for Christ and more of Him, we will know that true happiness that this world cannot give and cannot take away. Psalm 17, if you have your Bible, to turn over for just a moment to Psalm 17. I want to highlight two phrases in Psalm 17 that I think capture what we've been considering thus far. Psalm 17, and pick it up in verse 13. We'll read verses 13 through 15. Arise, O Lord, confront him, subdue him. Here the psalmist is talking about the wicked, those who oppress the people of God. Deliver my soul from the wicked by your sword, from men by your hand, O Lord. And note this language. From men of the world whose portion is in this life. That is, whose portion, whose longing, whose desire, whose satisfaction is in the creature, rather than the Creator, whose portion is in the things of this passing evil age. But he goes on. You fill their womb with treasure. They are satisfied with children, and they leave their abundance to their infants. All things of this world. But then note the contrast with the psalmist. What does the psalmist then say? As for me, I shall behold your face in righteousness. When I awake, I shall be satisfied with your likeness. Two opposing paths, two desires. On the one hand, those whose portion is in this life. On the other hand, those who behold the face of Christ in righteousness and who are satisfied with the likeness of our Lord. Is our portion in the things of this world, or are we satisfied in beholding the face, the glory, the likeness of our Savior? So first, righteousness, that is the person of Christ Himself, who is our very righteousness. Secondly, we're called to hunger and thirst, not just to want a little bit more, not to check the box. We're not to hunger and thirst after fleeting happiness, after the next experience. We are to hunger and thirst and to long and desire for the person of our Savior Himself, day in and day out. And then finally, what's the promise that we're given? What is the promise the Lord Jesus gives? For they shall be satisfied. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. The good news, dear friends, The good news is that Jesus always satisfies. Children, Jesus always satisfies. Without fail, without exception. We will never, ever, ever, ever go to Jesus and leave unsatisfied. It's impossible. Psalm 9, verse 10. For you, O Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. Psalm 107, verse 9. For he satisfies the longing soul, and the hungry soul he fills with good things. We know what that good thing is. That good thing, of course, is himself, the Lord Jesus. We'll take this into the New Testament. John chapter 4, well-known passage, Jesus talking with the Samaritan woman, the woman at the well. John 4, verses 13 and 14. Jesus said to this woman, drowning in sin and immorality, this woman who came to the well thinking she was going to get a cup of water, she was thirsty, but oh, how did she leave? John 4, 13 and 14, Jesus said to her, everyone who drinks of this water, this physical water, will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. Why? Because the water that I will give him, Jesus goes on, will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. Why is that the case? Because Jesus gives us himself. Jesus gives us himself. And who is Jesus? Well, he is the living water. He is the bread of life. That the one who follows him will never hunger. The one who believes in him will never thirst. He is the resurrection and the life. With him, there is fullness of joy. Psalm 16:11. With you there is fullness of joy at your right hand. What's at the right hand of God? Jesus. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Because that's where Jesus is. St. Augustine introduced his classic book, Confessions. God has made us for himself, and our hearts are restless until they rest in thee. Our hearts are restless. The heart of sinful man is restless until it finds that rest in Christ. And as believers, we know that rest now. We know something of that rest and that filling and that satisfaction right now. If you trust in Christ, if you rest in him, he is the great satisfaction for your soul. And you know that, dear Christian. But what awaits us? What does Peter say awaits us in 2 Peter chapter 3? A new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. We will know the fullness of that righteousness. We will know the fullness of that satisfaction and glory when we see our Savior face to face. We know it today. We know it now as we belong to the bread of life. But oh, what awaits us in glory. So dear friends, do you know this satisfaction? Do you know the happiness of walking closely with your Savior? If you are like me, this is what you want. This is what we want as Christians. But every day, do we not go our own way? Do we not stumble like sheep? Do we not look at the field over there? Think, boy, that grass looks nice over there. I'm going to test it out. I can dip my toe into that field over there. Do we not look to other things day in and day out to satisfy that desire of our hearts? May we repent and have our eyes fixed on the Lord Jesus and know that he alone satisfies the longings of our hearts. May we say with Paul, Lord, I want to know more of you. The cash value of this verse, this sermon, is not complicated, brothers and sisters. This morning's sermon, we had to get some doctrinal things straight. This evening, it's simply, oh, that we would know more of Jesus and the joy and delight that comes in Him. This passage ought to challenge us and to reflect on what are the priorities in our hearts and in our lives. What is first in your life? Who or what has pride of place in your own heart? Who or what can you not do without? A searching question. Who or what can you not do without? Jesus is, at the end of the day, the only one that we can't do without. Let me leave you with two verses as we come to the Lord's table in just a few moments. Two verses to simply listen and let them simmer on your heart. Psalm 73, verses 25 and 26. The psalmist says, "Whom have I in heaven but you? And there is nothing on earth that I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." We were created to know God. We've been redeemed that we would know and see our Savior face to face, see the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, by faith now, by sight in the age to come. One final verse, Psalm 4, verse 7. Listen to what the psalmist says, David in Psalm 4. "You have put more joy in my heart than they have when their grain and wine abound." Let me read that one more time. And we'll close in prayer. "You have put more joy in my heart than they have when their grain and their wine abound." Heavenly Father, may we know the joy that comes from You alone. Father, in the quietness of this time as we pray, we confess there are so many things that vie for first place in our hearts and in our lives. But may the testimony of the psalmist, of David, of Paul, of our Savior be that, be ours as well. That there is nothing that satisfies us other than You. As in a dry and weary land, our soul longs, yes, even faints for You. Would You fill us? Would You satisfy us? Forgive us, O Lord, for seeking that in anything else of this world. But may we long and may we desire more of You. For we know that as we go to You, we will never, ever be wanting. We thank You for the fullness that is in Christ alone. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.